Hello, everyone.
Hi, this is Christoph. And
definitely, it's really interesting that you actually pick up on this, Christoph, because, you know, when we're...
This is another element between us that we really...
Amharic word issue, then I always have this uncontrollable kind of...
So it's another element of our transformation process, so...
Fresh on, like, especially what game elements are, what game I did... change how we looked at things.
Betty and Christoph's Hitchhiking Guide to Gamified Transformation.
Hi, this is Christoph, and there's my wonderful colleague.
Bethlehem, this is me.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
And we're doing our first podcast together, right? This is the first time we do a podcast together, and we do it especially for this special project from the Goethe Institute.
Well, yes. We've done so much other things together, especially with interviews and everything else, but a podcast, this is the very first time.
So it's another element of our transformation process. So
definitely.
Definitely. So just jumping in totally new situations all the time and trying to find out, you know, what these situations mean for us and what we can do with them in one or the other way.
Yes. So I think maybe a good introduction would be great. So Christoph... maybe share your name and then what you do currently, and then we can go back and see how it all started and where we met and on and on.
Yes, I like the idea, but I have a better one.
Yeah, go on.
So what about you introduce me and I introduce you?
Great. Okay, the test begins. So this crazy, wonderful, madness leading person is called Christoph. He's from Germany, and he is a wonderful father, as far as we all know, and he actually works around gamification, game thinking, and digital risk management, and consults a lot of big companies ever since the digital sector was already transforming. And he was also, when I started knowing him 5 years ago, he started out with... getting people to understand what transformation really was, and this was not just necessarily in the format of the digital format, but mostly in terms of basically change management and everything that had to do with it. So the deep understanding of that field is what I associate Christoph with. Besides being this dreamer, this person who loves barbecue and food and good food and everything else like that, so... Yes, in a very, very short nutshell, this is Christoph Dick.
Well, amazing. Thanks a lot. Yeah, so let me introduce to you Bethlehem Mantine. She's one of the most inspiring persons I've ever met in my life. And I'm very happy that I can spend so much time with her. And she's an architect. So she started as an architect. I don't know whether she's still an architect. She's a bit more like an architect. She's like a creator trying to find out what a living space or spaces are and what spaces can be for us and how spaces transform us or are an inspiration for transforming. And on the other side, how we need to transform spaces in something totally different. And she's taking all these elements from game ideas and whatever comes in her mind, she tries to use them and create new spaces, new areas of life. And that always means that on the other side, she always understands how humans are behaving. She once said a wonderful sentence was, humans have been created to play, which is quite interesting because it's not based on this concept of the games industry, anything else. She's more into, okay, what if we use all this knowledge that we have about humans, about playing, just to make this world a better place? Sounds funny in a way that it is a lot of people in the world that might be thinking about this, but she's one person who really knows how to change spaces into something better. And it's a big and great honor for me that I can be with her on this journey, or that we both created our journey together.
That sounds amazing.
You agree on that?
Yes. But I think it's mostly also the inspiration that we kind of share from each other that gave us this long way to building some things together.
Yes, absolutely. This is something that I found out when I was thinking about doing this podcast with you, or thinking, because I started to rethink about who we are and what we are. And I found out that in the beginning, only for a very short time, I guess the first workshop where I came to Addis Ababa to do that gamification and gaming workshop, and we met the first time. And maybe in the beginning it was a bit like I was the expert knowing a lot about gamification and transforming and stuff like that. And you learned in one or the other way. Mm-hmm. And then you made some very crazy decisions. You should talk about this later, mm-hmm. What kind of crazy decisions you made. And I guess after some days, it was more kind of constant inspirational process between us. So it was not like there's one person who knows everything and the other is learning, but not mentorship or anything. I was kind of, there were so different levels of inspiration and so many connections between us. And even now, after 5 years of working together, traveling together, it is still that there's an ongoing process of establishing new connection between you and me.
Definitely. Maybe we could then start from the get-go. What was the first thing that you remember when we or the whole team that was with me met?
Maybe you should explain what we did. So how we met the first time and what happened that time, and maybe even the project that came afterwards, so that everyone understands a bit more about, you know, what happened.
Yeah. So to begin, even before I think you knew about the whole project that we were going to do, a lot of people that were coming together were in different positions, in different situations in their lives at that time. And we finally first met with you during this workshop, this gamification workshop that the Goethe Institute in Addis Ababa had hosted. And you'll tell us a little bit about like how that came into being, but how we know you basically started in that workshop, which was around 5 years ago. Like today, I think, yes. And that workshop went out on an open call, and we were all university students, or a couple of people were hired and working with some people. And I personally, at that time, was doing my bachelor's thesis in architecture school in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa, one of the biggest universities. And I was really, really confused at that point in time when doing learning architecture, that I couldn't really, there was something that was bugging me that I couldn't find to fit in to the thesis project, because I needed that human element and I couldn't find it in the whole architecture discourse. And at that time, I was just looking around, searching, browsing, doing everything that I can do very differently. And that's when I stumbled on this open call online on a workshop that said gamification. And that was really, I think, the first time that I was introduced to the name even, right? And I was like, okay, I didn't know anything about it. It just sounded different, and that was what I was aiming at. So I did apply, went, and then the whole workshop started, basically. And I think the first day is when we met with you, as you were the facilitator or the expert of the workshop, right? And we started thinking about, I remember the first day, it was about what does the city of your future look like? And that was a really, really impressive beginning for me to start. And so just within a couple of days after that workshop, I immediately changed my thesis project title, and I made it Gamification of Architecture. And I had no idea how it would actually work out, or even if any advisor in the university would take me up to consult me on that title, because nobody really knew what gamification was, let alone gamification of architecture. So I did take that title, take it around the university, because at the university, you need to have an instructor that can advise you towards making that project a life. And every instructor, every teacher rejected it because they had no idea what it is, right? And there was just this one last instructor who was like, who was really famous and really strong. I think you remember him also, Christoph. He made a talk actually in our workshop at the last day. where mm-hmm. he was talking about the city is the biggest participatory art form of a human yeah. species and so on, right?
Yeah,
and so
yeah, yeah.
This guy was so busy. He was so wonderful and like really, really brightened the field with different ideologies. But at that year, he used to consult other people, but at that year he was saying that he would not take up any student to advise because, you know, there's so much to do at his plate. And I had no other choice but to take this title to him. And he had no idea about it, but he just took it. And that was a very, very, very impressive start of a big journey that where we are here today, because it showed me that it's really the potential of things that people look for and not necessarily yeah. that it's 100% fitting right now with the current things and how it works. So after that, it was a really, really cool story even to tell, like how it ended and everything. But that workshop, I think it was about 4 days, led to a dinner afterwards and led to other things that we would also talk about. And that was really the part of transformation for me that really lit up my perspective, basically, around the world and how things should be done, and not necessarily that everything that had worked right now doesn't mean that it should be kept on being done just because it has worked, right? So that was a point of transformation for me.
Yeah, and I think that when I was doing the workshop, I had an idea about what this workshop could be about. But it was not that I had a clear planning, like a clear structure. Officially, I was talking about a clear structure. I said, yes, of course, I have a structure. I know exactly what I'm doing. But honestly speaking, I had an idea. I had an idea. I had some thoughts in my mind. And I gave it to the group where you were part of. And I stopped and I said, okay, let's find out what they are doing. So let's find out what they have in mind. And the thing is, like, very often when we talk about transformation, or even what is the energy that enables us to transform something, and very often it's about diversity or have different perspectives and stuff like that. And it's something that even, you know, when people are talking about you and me, sometimes I have the feeling that the situation that I'm from Europe and you're from Africa is enough to be diverse and is enough to create the transformation process. But I disagree on that idea. Yeah. I don't think that it's just a cultural diversity or anything else. There are some more elements that are relevant. An example that you need to be open-minded. You need to be willing to rethink what you are and what you are doing. So it's not just a difference between you and me. It's also much more important is the idea of, you know, that's what we call madness.
Yeah.
You know, it is not that. Of course, there are lots of differences between you and me, but it's but on the other side, this was not, from my personal perspective, not the main energy that created this, what we are now. So this connection, this idea of changing the world, even this idea of doing projects all the time. But like I have the feeling that we will never do projects that are comparable to other projects. We always come up with new ideas, or we look for people that they kind of create a certain challenge for us in a special way. Maybe there's a problem to solve or anything else. And we come up with our mindset and our ideas. So it's not like a classical tool set. It is a bit more like a mindset, the way we cooperate, the way we influence each other. And I think that is the great misunderstanding in cultural diversity, because if you talk about people that have that just have, you know, a different cultural background or maybe whatever, there are so many differences in in the world. This is not the core energy for transformation. I think it is about the ability to open your mind, to open your heart to something in terms of the wish to listen and to explore the other person and the project and the transformation process, and not just try to kind of create and sell something in one or the other way.
You know, there's always these things where whenever there's a project or whenever there's any kind of problem, idea, or challenge to solve around, There's usually these three things, or there's more of them, but it's basically there's people, there's processes that we always refer to as frameworks sometimes, and then there's at the end of the run, like products or platforms or services or whatever that you have to build. And the first thing that always comes within these processes is actually the people. And that's really when the transformation begins, basically. Like you said, Christoph, this opening up to someone else, someone else's views of the world is really how it begins, basically. And this someone else doesn't necessarily need to be also a person. It could literally be a plant or a table, or you know what I mean? It's just the nature of how things are is completely different every time, and even within every different project and even every different person who handles that project. And it is really this timing and that perspective that you allow the challenge or the problem to be looked around that can actually give us that readiness, you know, to look at it differently. Yeah. And if that's not done in the beginning, then you're just recreating something that has always been there before. And that's like recreating the wheel again, right? And yes, diversity, culture diversity brings a good amount of differences to the table so that like you can look at tools differently, but not necessarily from worlds apart or from continents apart. Because I remember on our second biggest project, Christoph, we did do travel a lot around Africa, right? And
yes.
One of the biggest things here was that me as an Ethiopian, I never even thought about like traveling to my nearest neighboring country, which is Kenya, for example, would have had a completely different impact on how I looked at the world. And it really did change a lot of things because it wasn't necessarily like how far apart we lived that created this openness or this transformation idea, but it was just necessarily because of how people looked at the world, and that it really does teach you to be open in the process. Yeah,
and I really have the feeling that, you know, for those for the listeners, so this was the Enter Africa project, the second project. It was the first project where it's no longer was me doing a workshop with Betty. It was we were both the workshop masters together with another wonderful guy, Dagmavi Bidilu from Addis Abeba, and from Germany, Roman Rakwitz. We were traveling to about 15 different African countries doing project based on games where we tried to use games and game mechanics to change cities, to create a new idea of city development in the way that we let people understand what their city is about and what options they have in their future in their city and how the city could look like. And then they created a game of it so that others could join the game and try to understand what's in for me. So how could my future look like in this city? And what I found out in this is, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have this strong connection, because finally it's all about trust. Mm-hmm. I think transformation is something where we lose our comfort zone, and I think this is one element where I think that cultural diversity can be helpful, not in terms of different perspectives or whatever, but when I went to Africa the first time, remember that time, you know, when I was in Addis the first time, and I've been to Addis so many times now, and in the beginning, my first two or three visits to Addis, it was always like, I need to trust you. You were bringing me to all these places. You remember that wonderful art and cultural place where we've been in this evening, where we, you know, this the real one, you know, not the tourist places. Yeah. And I remember that a couple of years later, when we've been with others to this tourist place, and there was awesome Ethiopian music and dancing, and I told you, this is not the real one. And you said, now you got it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Remember that evening?
Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, that means we need to trust each other, because we'll and trust is something which is very helpful to create a much bigger understanding of transformation. So I needed to trust you. You need to trust me. You were asked to quit your job and to travel with me around Africa and try to find out new ways of transforming cities. Mm. And it was like, okay, you knew me in one or the other way, but it's totally different if you kind of, you know, quit your job and then you need to travel with this guy from Germany all around Africa and we both both had lots of ideas how to do these workshops. And honestly speaking, remember this situation that we had so many good ideas. We were prepared to do the workshops in a very special way. We were thinking about it. And in the moment where the workshop started, it was totally different. And we were not improvising, but we needed to trust each other. And not only as a person, but even in the ideas of the other person and what's in her mind without knowing exactly what's in her mind, in your mind, you know. So I was doing the workshop and we were doing the workshop and we were starting to work with the people to collect all their ideas, to kind of support them in creating their own future games and future perspectives and all the other elements. And then you were jumping in, and most of the time, honestly speaking, I was not listening to the guys, I was listening to you, trying to understand what's up in your mind. Yeah, and this is something like, so there were so many different levels where we were just leaving our comfort zone, and we had to trust each other. And this is where diversity could be a very interesting energy, because you need to leave your comfort zone. You need to trust the other person. And this doesn't mean that the person will do it in the way you want the person to do it. It might be something totally different, and you need to follow this path in one or the other way. And I guess this is another element between us, that we really learn to trust each other.
Definitely. It's really interesting that you actually pick up on this, Christoph, because you know, when we're doing trainings or doing projects, we always really refresh on, like, especially what game elements are, what game ideas we can use on other different projects. But if we were to talk about what a good transformation project has an element of, then I think, yes, trust would be one of the very basic and very important ones. But there's also this being okay with the unknown, being okay with uncertainty is one of the most major, especially for me, that played a really great core to understanding transformation, is not knowing things, certainly, because you're always, you know, constantly being presented with new things, new thoughts, new perspectives. So, and even new countries and new relationships with other people that you work with, right? And so, you need to know that, like, the unknown, the mystery side of things is okay to be in. And that's where you lose the comfort zone, and the comfort zone becomes unnecessary to the point where you're always going to create something in a combination of other things that is relatively new and different. So I think this was one of the major points where I think I learned through the process of this 5 years and even beyond, when I was back in architecture school, the unknown was very, very, very important part of making a project.
I think sometimes it is like it's a bit like learning. I want to give you an example. It's like, think about culture elements, German culture or European culture and African culture. Because the funny thing is, by the way, I find it, for me, and the funny thing was that even you told me about this experience too, is that we always talk about African culture, and it, like, there is one African culture, but honestly speaking, no, there's no one African culture. It's totally diverse. And it was you told me once that it's totally different to be in Tanzania and in Ethiopia, an example, and there are so many diverse South Africa, and that's quite interesting to see that even like we. Our perspective on this, even Europe, I guess, there's lots of diversity in Europe as well. Yeah. And what I had sometimes in mind when I think about our working, it is like, on the one hand, it is like care about culture, care about your culture, care about your mindset. And in the same moment is about don't give a shit on it.
Yes.
Don't care about it. It's a bit like, it is not that you just kind of copy your experiences and then try to make another transformation process like it is in the moment. So it is a bit more kind of, we are jumping into something, and it's not about we rely on what we are or our experiences. It's a bit more like we know what we are. Yeah. So it's not the, it's just what happens in this special moment. Yeah. So it's like, and that's, I guess this is something where that's the reason why we have these different transformation processes that we work with together. And because finally it is all about understanding transformation is something that you can only transform something or someone, or you can only support someone in doing a transformation or consult something in doing a transformational process when you are able to transform yourself. Whatever you teach to the people, you need to be this person, otherwise it won't work.
Yeah, 100%. But maybe to go a bit back and give an introduction of things and how we basically started. So right after that workshop, we actually sat down and talked about it, and there were about 9 people at the end of that workshop, I think, and most of them said that, okay, we want to work on this transformational field and actually apply it to our own different sectors. And I remember that there were so many different sectors that actually came together on that very first workshop with you, Christoph.
Yes, yes.
And afterwards, we kind of said, okay, let's create a type of typology, like a team or a network or something that works for us so that we can continue working on this. And that was when a team of people together formed what we call now the Cho'ata Awagi group, that shortly translates from the Amharic version to play wizards, or like people who know how to introduce meaning using play. And there's a term like that actually in Ethiopia, so it's not so far from the traditional part of the culture here. But so right after that team was formed, there were so many conversations about, okay, what next, right? And but before even that happened, there was also one other person, which you've mentioned, Dagmawi, that, and including me, we already had a job at that time, right after graduation also. And I completely quit whatever I had as a job, right? So it was a government job. It was actually really good with benefits and lots of promotions that come very regularly. And it was right after 3 months and so on working into that, I was promised that I would be able to transform a lot of things and play around with different elements of architecture. But looking at the field, looking at the nature of the job itself, it wasn't as open. And a lot of people needed to work around openness, which was inhibiting a bit. And there was this team, let's say, or there was this workshop that really did change how we looked at things. And it wasn't going to compete with that, right? So I had quit at that point, and we're just looking around, okay, what could I do with this, right? And that was the time, I think, when this new project idea came, Enter Africa. And maybe you can tell us, Christoph, about how that came into being.
Well, the idea was it was a bit like, okay, the first project that we did was successful, and we created this first local-based game in Ethiopia, the Battle of the Times, together. And it was finally a prototype. It was finally the first try to use games to think about the future of cities, and also connect these to cultural perspectives, but even perspectives from the age of the people who are working with it and stuff like that. So there was a lot of different thinking about target groups and even the question of interaction, not in the game. Whenever you come up with creating a game, and it's all about the city in the future, finally, you do not talk about the game. You finally talk about where is interaction in the city at the moment, or where could it be in the future? What places do we need? And even how can we transform this? Because the game itself, the Battle of the Times, was a fictional version of Addis Ababa. And now the question was, okay, how can we change our real environment? How can we change the city into something which is more or less connected to that idea of the Battle of the Times? So, and then we had this idea, okay, what's next? And honestly speaking, it was a bit like I was saying, the first moment was a bit like fun, saying, okay, now let's do this all around Africa and create a big African community with, based on gaming and change and transformation. And what about bringing all these guys to Germany to the Gamescom and connect them to whatever, so many new ideas and so many new companies and organizations. And honestly speaking, I was talking about this, and then I was laughing because I thought it was, it's really funny to think about this. And then the wonderful guys from the Goethe Institute said, okay, let's do this. And then we had this very special evening. You remember that, when we had dinner together with the director from the Goethe Institute, and Julia Sattler, and then Dagem and you and me were sitting together, and we, Julia Sattler and I, we were talking to you, saying that, well, we've got an idea, and we cannot promise it that it will happen. We will do our very best, but what do you think about
Betty and Christoph's Hitchhiking Guide to Gamified Transformation.
All right, there we go. This is going to be part two of the conversation about transformation that we had started with Christoph Dieg and me, myself, Bethlehem Antenne. So for part two, Christoph Dieg, you had an idea. What would you like to start with?
Yes, I have an idea, and but he, as we both agreed on that, finally, it's transformation is not only about diversity, but about leaving your comfort zone and trust each other in one or the other way, and even be open for, you know, all these inspirations and whatever happens, and use this to create a certain kind of energy and stuff like that. I have an idea, because in the last in the first part we were talking about the past. And how this kind of creates this very special, or created this very special transformation energy that we have. So we could even talk about the question whether we are really consulting people or giving them this transformation energy. We share the energy, I don't know. Maybe it's both. But my idea is now that we lose our comfort zone now and stop talking about the present, stop talking about the past. Let's talk about the future. And the future is unwritten, honestly speaking. So the idea is, what about thinking about our future, our transformation future? What do you think about this? So I know you're not prepared, but I just, you know, you trust me, I trust you, and let's start.
Wonderful. Honestly speaking, you're also not that prepared. So this is going to be great, because this is what we do with our projects, right? Like, yes. Get into whatever is not prepared for and deal with it that way. So, yes. Let's. Great. Do you have an idea of where to start? Yes.
Well, I start with the future. So, no, I don't start. You start with the future. So, it's just like, you know, as a... So I guess we both, in our brains, we try to create ideas and stuff like that to talk about it. So that's using the comfort zone and transform each other in one or the other way, because that's funny what transformation is all about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because the future is unwritten. Very often when you come up with transformation processes, people are telling you exactly what they want to achieve. And they can tell you exactly what they have in mind, how their future should look like. And I think the first thing that we always tell them or show them finally is... don't care about what you have in mind about your future. Think about this is an ongoing process, and it's about, you know, it's about understanding who you are, what you are, understanding all the processes that are connected to you, and then trying to find out what this all means to your own future, and then we can come up with a transformation process in one or the other way. So therefore, you have the allowance to come up with your first idea about our future.
Yes. So the first and very foremost thing would be to be okay and to understand that staying with one sort of with one sort of, or with one methodology of doing things, doesn't really necessarily get us far in a say, right? And so the first thing about the future would be understanding that it will be definitely different and that it's okay to be different. Because, you know, a lot of the times you hear in the news that things are changing, like especially with how technology is transforming every minute, that people need to be able to adapt to things, like especially with how the COVID came as a pandemic and changed a lot of part of different people's lives, that really showed how much flexible, how much adaptable people really need it to be. There's so many sort of things like working from home and so on that had impacted the economy, necessarily not killing it, but changing it, right? So this flexibility is one of the biggest, one of the most important tools that people need to be skilled with and understand how to actually deal with it. So this, that's where also transformation really can begin, right? So having this flexibility, changing completely 90 to a 90 degree route of what we were doing and starting something new would then be the first future take on what we can do, I would say. And that could mean creating different projects that we had. Of course, we always do create different projects, and they're always going to be different changes one after the other because of the whole situation. But even in terms of what we were aiming at, then the first few things could be about completely changing that and seeing how flexible and how also not so flexible we could be.
Yes, yes, and I absolutely agree. And especially if you think about we're no longer talking about linear processors.
Yes.
So we need to stop to think about this linear processors. We need to think about the ability to create a certain kind of an option space. So there are so many options. I think even that is something that we do when we are working together, even in this connection between us. Finally, you know, we create an option space for us. Yeah.
Constantly,
so there's
yes.
so many new ideas. And so even, you know, like these games that we play with each other, you remember that idea when we did that kind of speed dating with new inspirations when we've been on this, a roller coaster or something like, not roller coaster, but this roller stairs? What's the name of it?
Yeah,
in Nairobi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not escalators, but
it was escalators, yes.
Escalators, yes.
Yes.
And we were in Nairobi. No one asked. We just started to use the escalators as a time frame. So it was about 10 or 15 seconds. So we were giving each other kind of topics or headlines, and we were recording what we were saying and what we were thinking about it. And I still have these videos with me. And it's so funny to see how we, in the beginning, it was a bit like, okay, we need to find out how this works and kind of, you know, trust each other that everything is fine. And then the more we were doing it, the more it was fun, and the more we created new ideas. And this was a very special moment. And this wasn't linear, because it looked linear in the beginning because we were kind of going from one level of this building to the other, so it looked like a linear process. But then we went back and doing this again and again, creating new circles and finally transformation can be also described as a bunch of circles that are connected to people's minds and people's ideas. Finally.
Yes, and every circle, in every route, things change.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
That's a very cool idea how you linked it, but yes. So what would your idea for the future be?
Well, the first thing that I have in mind is that I guess we will... Well, finally, I understood that to do the next transformation level, but like when we connected to what we are together, the most important thing is that we find structures. So doing the opposite of what we usually do, finding structures that kind of give us the ability to be more connected to each other. Like very easy things, like how can we use all the digital stuff to have more connection between each other, to get more kind of inspirations into the system, and then even find out what kind of circles we can create, circles of transformation, and even how we kind of reflect it. think what we need to have is a bigger kind of collection of ideas, not in connection to special processors, but understanding each other and the world better by create a collection like a museum. I guess we should have we should create our own transformation library, yeah, which has different levels of like there might be easy structural tools, there might some be maybe just ideas, it's a certain kind of craziness and madness inside. And once we have the library, we can change it or transform it into a museum of transformation and let others join this museum. And you know, like and kind of explore all these elements. And then we find out whether there are connections between them and us. And then we have a starting point for a new transformation process. And this is something that we can do. I want to do this in the digital world because not only because of the COVID, but because of, you know, there are so many kilometers between you and me. But the next level would be, I want to have a tiny little space in Addis Ababa, maybe about 4 square meters or something like this. And I want a tiny little, have a tiny little place in Nuremberg. Then this becomes our real life transformation museum. And in the beginning, it's just us, you and me. But later on, we can invite others to join in. And then using this even as a physical transformation trigger. Mm. What do you think about this?
That is a wonderful idea. Like, really, there's always this connection to humans towards a physical thing, right? Yes, the digital really works well, especially with, you know, narrowing the gaps that we have around each other while so many miles away from each other. But there's always this need to be connected with the physical thing as a trigger, then that works specifically really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a very important, I guess it's a very important point, because I think that in the end we wouldn't have this connection. We wouldn't have the ability to do transformation processes together when we never met in real, never met in the physical space before. So I think that this traveling, this physical traveling, this being in physical spaces quite often created this core. I don't think that this is possible if you're only connected in a digital way.
100%. There was always this idea of, say, creating, like you said, maybe 4 meter squares or like 9 meter squares of a cubic box. And that's like something that's suspended on top of one of the building platforms, one of the building terraces. And it would be this translucent kind of box where you can actually see the color of the light that is lit in. And just imagine this being placed in every city or in every different country where these transformation bonds are being made. So whenever one other person joins in, then you get to have this, say, it's like a balloon on top of a Google Maps, right? Like that idea of a location being pinned there in a red color. Yeah. And you get to have it on one of the top and the tallest buildings in the city. And it also would flicker the color red, as in being lit inside it, and it could definitely be that trigger. But this is just part of the symbol, right? But after the symbol, what actually content is being done there? I feel like maybe the next also level could be about creating dreamers, basically. And this is where you allow people to actually dream. And when I say this, it seems odd that like people are not being allowed to dream, you might question, right? But it really, really is a difference. It makes a lot of difference when you actually start to talk about it and you start to see what it actually could really mean. And you would see that a lot of us are not actually dreaming because of so many different things. And when I say dream, it's not necessarily about daydreaming, you know, you just still sit and like think about whatever comes to your mind, but about really thinking about different options, different meanings that we can all create, right? And creating different people with different abilities to dream about how things are going, that could be something then that, you know, creates a tiny little bit of dilute in an ocean and then it goes on like in ripples.
Yeah, it's finally. It would be wonderful. It would be a wonderful connection to the, you know, the Battle of the Times was the first local based game in Ethiopia. That's what you told me.
Yeah.
And so now we have this transformation from local based games to transformation based game places,
mm-hmm.
or whatever like this. And it's like. And I think that is, if you can come up with the idea of dreaming is not just something that, you know, something people do when they sleep or
yeah.
whether they, I think dreaming is not only about leaving the real to a fictional world. It mm-hmm. could be also this idea of, like, dreaming is, as far as I understand it right, it is your brain. Is you know, in the former times, people were saying that dreaming means your brain is just kind of tries to deal with what happened during the day or during the week or something like this. But as far as I understood it right, now the scientists came to the conclusion that it's not about this. It is about creating new options,
yes.
creating new ideas how it could be. So it's not just dealing with the past. It's about creating new realities and new ideas of even how the future could look like. And I think that this is a very important element, because when we have these boxes, like you said, and they become triggers for transformation, and of course then there is a transformation process, and sometimes it might be a very classical transformation process with milestones and stuff like that. But in the end, it's not about the milestones, it's not about the tool. It's how you how you use them. So the real transformation is not a bunch of tools or a tool set that you used to change something. It is about what's happening with you and how you use them and how you perceive this and how you create new spaces of this. And maybe it's something that we, you know, these boxes, they go on a journey around the world and we do not know what's happening inside. So we do not know what we get at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That could be even quite interesting. And then on the other side, it's about your profession, the architectural element of it. It's a bit like Lego or Minecraft, you know. It's like there are always connections between the boxes and things could happen and stuff like that. And I think that in the end, it's all about, you know, that it's like. It is like this idea of a transformation-based game, because I don't like the idea. No, what about this? Not saying a local-based game became a transformation-based game. What about a local-based game became a transformation-based play?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, because finally, I think there are so many challenges for the future, like climatic change or even the pandemic situation right now and all the other things that are there, yeah, and still there. And and for lots of people, transformation is always based on work and losing something and stuff
yeah.
like that. It's never about fun.
Mm.
Yeah. It's never about this. It could be fun to make this planet a better planet. It could be fun to have fun at work or whatever. So there's so many different options, but not in a classical programming way. Yeah, not in this linear way. I think transformation is not about understanding the code of something and then change the code so that all these human robots behave different in the future. It's a bit more like, okay, giving them new options and then supporting them in creating a framework that when finally that's what we do all the time. A game is a framework.
Definitely.
Architecture is about frameworks. And even what we are, our connection, our experiences in the past and hopefully our much more experiences in the future are finally based on a framework model.
Well, they should be, but it's really more like why this transformation process is really interesting is because it turns even products into frameworks, right? And a lot of the times, products are like losing their ability to win people, to make people use of them, for example, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the phone works really well because it's not a product, but it's a platform for other things.
Yeah.
And even the biggest problem that I had with architecture while starting out was that it was designed as a product. It was something that one person, usually a man, like designs whatever is in their mind, what they think is right, and they just give it to the people to use it. There is no platform, there is no space for people to grow into that. So it's really a, just a product in a say. So you just, it's an end ready to use thing. You either you want to use it or you don't want to use it. But by turning it into a platform, by turning it into a framework, then you really have the possibility that more people would understand the becoming, but also then more people would understand their options in it. And they would get to have this decision, this active living, active being with the platform that's provided. Because the biggest trigger that we've seen with people behavior especially is that there is the need to be recognized because there is so much potential with every one of us. And allowing that to happen, it's when you allow that to happen that huge transformations happen, like really in the world, even with different projects, right? And so take, for example, a very tiny project with, say, you're doing an advertising that's supposed to onboard thousands of people to help this and that. And by giving a product, you get so many less people inspired than allowing so many people to participate. And that's why games work. That's why they are a multi-billion dollar industry, so much bigger than the Hollywood industry, for example, or like the subscription industry. And it's even forecasted that this completely outgrows a lot of the entertainment industry that we have so far. And having this turned into this different frameworks is what makes it all and very interesting.
Absolutely. So, and especially, so when you said that it is about giving options and allow people something, I think the other element is, and that's probably the reason why people want to work with us, is because the one thing is to allow people, the other thing is to be an example that you don't have to worry about the consequences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like no worries, guys. We've done that before. So jump.
Yeah.
It's not. And it is like this is a very in a very important aspect on transformation is that you need someone to not to follow as a process where you follow a person step by step doing the same but than the person did, but having someone where you trust in and you see it might hurt to be in a transformation process, but and it's a bit like chili, you know, it's the tasty way of being hurted, you know what I mean? And it's like and there of course there are ups and downs, and there, of course there are things that are not so funny, so it's not about even us, we both are not we're not about being funny and smiling all the day. I remember situations in our projects we were more into crying or being feared or even don't know what will come up next or something like this, and even that created this special experience, this special connection between us too. Definitely. And it is like and that's as we said in the first part of this podcast, I truly believe that in the beginning this difference between you and me based on this cultural background was a trigger to trust each other and to be open enough to check out what's on the other side of the moon, something like this. And then the more we were working together, it changed into something like, it doesn't matter where you come from, it only cares who you are. And the thing is like, honestly speaking, that even it doesn't matter who you are, because you know, you've been told, you and me, we've been transformed by each other and the project within the last 5 years. I'm a different person now, yeah. And this is like this is something like this this special kind of emotional connection between us. So we need this, you know. Mm-hmm. We need this. Not inspiration, but this trigger, you know, we became kind of addicted. I don't know if this is the right word, but it's a bit like being addicted to this this difference, which is no longer based on culture. It is just because we are our own circle of transformation.
Definitely. You know, we always have like these different, also smaller triggers that we always can like awaken basically. If, say, because of the transformation, because of the patterns that we are aware about each other, then remember when you're saying, for example, this Amharic word, Ishi, then I always have this uncontrollable kind of poke, basically, that I feel. And it's like, okay, whenever you say that, it's like a trigger that, you know, it makes you jump out of whatever we're doing. If we are, for example, say we are in a very intense situation, or when we're working, it's either we're crunching a lot of things quickly and it gets sometimes overwhelming, and that just quickly snaps you out of the things. Yeah. And even when you're thinking about it, not just for me, but you thinking about doing it also gets you out of that. And then that's like a reboot structure, right? So this reboot mechanisms also kind of grow out of this trust that you kind of build because of the unknown, basically, from that comes from each other.
And now I guess I found a wonderful idea for ending this podcast.
Okay. I think I know what you mean.
I try this now. No, I try this now. And you you have the ability to say, that's a good point to end, but you need to add something on it. So it's not enough to say, let's end it here. So you need to add something on it. But I have an idea. What about maybe what happened finally is that there's one thing that created a connection in the first second when we met the first time, and this was play. This was, because this even was the topic of the first workshop. And finally, play is not something that you do. It's a certain kind of language. It's a certain kind of code. And the connection between you and me is that we found so many different patterns, that are finally nothing else than mechanics. Yeah, so we were using this idea of this concept of play and gaming to create our own pattern, our own bunch of mechanics that we can use. Yeah, and this is the core element between us. It's something that creates this new, you know, transforming processes, and we can do this with art, we can do this with whatever, and because this is our code, an unwritten code, an unspoken code, but this is something we can rely on. This creates the center element of our our connection and our working base, you know, and this is something that at the end creates the transformation energy that we have. So in the beginning, it was understanding the code, it was using the code to understand cultural backgrounds, or even, you know, whatever kind of special experiences we had. But now it's something that we can rely on, and it's something that works better than any language in the world. Yeah, and we can, we translate it. Yeah, so like, remember that Lutopia again, we will not talk about this project because that's not about, this podcast shouldn't be all about talking all about just about our projects. But when we had this idea of finally translating the concept of the Gold Experience from Prince, this album, this recording, into a transformation process. And finally, it was about game mechanics that we found in a recording from Prince, and we used this because it worked well from our perspective to transform a city. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah, and to create workshops. So I guess maybe this is the this is something that we found out in doing this podcast. We found out that the fountain that we have is the ability to create a certain kind of a connection based on a code, which is based on mechanics, which is based on our experiences, which is based on our openness towards the other person's culture. What do you think about this?
You have topped everything, and now you want me to follow that.
Yes.
Yes, basically, I think... But now I'm running without. I'm running out of ideas because a lot of them are running around. Which one should it be? But yes, it is the mechanics that we then develop, and it's unknowingly that we develop these mechanics sometimes, and it becomes into something that we inhibit and we incorporate into other things, basically also our processes on how we do these different projects also. But I think the one other thing also that I think could sum up our transformation basically would be the fact that we do not really allow the sense or the idea of fear to come in between these processes, right? Because we think, and I think it's maybe one of the lessons that we've learned from games, that is that failure is okay as long as you go back and learn from it. And game over doesn't mean the world is over. And unfortunately, how we've learned around, failure in schools or in different parts of life is that it's this life, you know, killing thing, mechanism, basically, because we necessarily do not have a way to deal with it. We haven't, as society, we haven't figured out a consequence-free methodology on how to deal with failures. But we, I think, somehow have learned how to manage it, not necessarily deal with consequences, but manage and understand what it means to fail and actually how failure could become also part of the success, right? And this is one of the really, really coolest, I say coolest because it really is, but also one of the most important aspects of creating these different frameworks and these processes of transformation, basically is, yeah.
Absolutely. And because we are not afraid about the future, because we have each other and all these ideas about, we have the transformation of whatever needs to be transformed in the future, we can now officially announce that we will go on with this podcast.
Yes.
not in this way, not in the way that we create other parts now, but we're going to use this starting point, this trigger, to have our own podcast and to have Christoph's and Betty, or Betty's and Christoph's podcast, how we see the world, how we change the world. And yes, and I'm looking forward to this. And I think it's quite interesting. I think we are talking for more than an hour now when we get together these two parts.
Yes.
And with no script, it's just us. Yeah, I think that's quite interesting. So, and I okay, sooner or later we need to eat something or drink something, but this is something that always shows me how our connection works. You know, we can just start talking and it's like this all the time.
Yeah. So this is a starting point to create that library we have talked about, and perhaps imaginary or even real, like cubes that we would spot on different maps in the world, and somehow they coming together then could also be this giant museum of libraries, of mechanics, of different elements of particularly being a human and what it is to change. And I hope we can close it like this today. And this will be a really good starting point. We have created a new other option for us to communicate, which is this podcast. And we thank you, Nico, I think, is the perfect person responsible for getting us to have this one more format of an option to communicate. So, yes, thanks to the Great Institute.
And Christoph's Hitchhiking Guide to Gamified Transformation.
Okay, so part three was actually not planned. It happened because of a technological difficulty. Technical difficulty. We lost connection, and now we're back. This is the reality of things as well, and needing to be flexible around it. But this will be the last take for this podcast, and we would like to close it off with a question before bye. So I think I would like to ask you the last question for this podcast today, Christoph.
Okay.
And that question would be, Knowing that we started this podcast saying that we were new to this podcasting platform thing, and since we have created another door, another gateway to basically communicating differently, I want to ask you if this process, if this, let's say, hour and 20 minutes or so that we have spent on this podcast, if it has changed anything, or if it had brought you a different perspective or a different idea to how to deal with different things?
That's a very good question. Well, the funny thing is, whenever I'm in contact with you, whenever we talk to each other, it is kind of an overwhelming reflecting process. So it's always about learning. And it's about seeing things again. And sometimes it's like, especially producing this podcast, it's not about so many new things in terms of something I'd never thought about before, but bringing things back to my mind. Yeah, and in terms of like the fun thing is that we have this huge collection of experiences and connections between between each other, and but sometimes it's important to see the connections between the connections. See the connections between all these experiences and try to learn from them, because finally it is what we created is a network of inspirations, and there are different levels of this network, and there is this cultural element, there is this experience element, there is this this project experience element, and so many others, and these always creates different colors. And so what finally happens on this podcast is not that I have so many new connections in terms of new elements of these networks, but a lot of new colors inside. So the picture is much more colored now. And this is something that I really like, because finally it's not only about, like, innovation is not only about having new things or creating new things, but also creating new connections between things that are already there. Yeah, does that make sense to you? Does it kind of answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Does it make sense to you?
It really does. Yeah. It's not necessarily that you need to have a product right now or an idea of a form.
Yeah.
Yes, it adds one more value. Then this becomes something that you can, you know, pick at some point and then add on to something else, and the combination becomes bigger. The combination of elements that you can form to create new patterns, new mechanics, new ideologies. All of these, they come up from not one single element, but from a combination of experiences. And this has added another element into that combination, is what I think you're saying.
Okay, so here's my question. Mm-hmm. So what would be the coolest thing that could happen in the future in connection to our connection, and also in connection what the impact of our work is to the world or anything else or the universe?
Ooh, so this is like a 5-year strategy plan on its own. I think the coolest thing, or something that is full of impact, I would say, would be, all these words are labeled that I'm thinking, and they're somehow biased, but I would say a little bit of a laboratory or an academy of this transformation, where it actually becomes part of the learning systems for a lot of people that we can do together. So imagine we're doing consultancies, we're doing trainings currently until now, right? And just imagine it that it becomes also part of a laboratory, that it is created on its own, and that more people can actually be able to see more of their options, right? And I think this would be one of the coolest things, because then this can have the ripple effect thing that we were also talking about in part one of this podcast, and this lab of madness creating people filled with so many ideas that turn fantasies, dreams into realities, because they're not really so far away from being a reality, as long as there is the open-mindedness and there's the implementable options around them. I think this would be really great.
So that means that to resume what I said and what you said, finally we could agree on, we promise to the world our madness will not end.
100%.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Thank you, Betty.
Very much so, Christoph. Thank you so much for this conversation too. It was, as always, inspiring and long and very intuitive.
So let's say thank you. Say bye bye to the world. See you, world.
Soon, very soon, with so many madnesses. So yes, thanks everyone. All right.
Ciao.
Nice clip.
Bye.
Christoph's Hitchhiking Guide to Gamified Transformations.